this form of government that you're recommending successfully?
No, I'm saying that that's a wrong question to be asking. I mean, clearly we can have a debate, and I'm sure there could be hundreds of articles out there that show one city working better than the next.
Yeah, I'm just, as a matter of fact, asking, do you have the name of a city or a couple cities that you can point me to, and those that are observing this conversation, that you think of as models of the kind of government that you're proposing that we change to?
Well, I can certainly point to ones that use a mayor, council, chief administrative officer form.
But that's not my question.
Right.
I mean, obviously you're
and the point I'm trying to make to you, Commissioner, is that there are different ways of measuring a city's success. There are so many different things that you can measure. Are we talking about efficiency of delivery of city services? Are we talking about sustainability? Are we talking about housing? Are we talking about livability? Are we talking about quality jobs? These are all different metrics. And there are so many studies out there that show Portland on top, Portland on the bottom, Portland in the middle. So it does not make sense to look at those studies. Instead, we should be looking at ourselves in the mirror, being introspective and asking ourselves, can we do better? Have we reached our potential? That's the question that this Charter Review Commission has asked itself. Because we can sit here all day long and debate whether Portland is better than the rest. Are we better than Denver? Are we better than Austin? Are we better than San Francisco? Are we better than all the other cities that use a strong mayor form, a mayor council CAO form, or a council manager form?
You're missing my point. I'm not trying to get into that. I'm not trying to argue the merits of one form over the other. I'm simply asking, because I thought I heard you say that in the report you had pointed to cities, so I'm just simply saying, for my own edification, is there some place that I can look to, whether it's Seattle or San Francisco, that has a model that you found attractive? And I'm not trying to ask you that in an adversarial way. I'm just curious, much as in, you know, when I buy a car, a new car, certainly the sales pitch that I get to buy a car characterizes the vehicle one way, but I certainly want to go out and drive it and read reviews of that before I buy it. I mean, that's
I think in the materials that we've cited in our written report, if you read those, you'll see listings of cities and the different forms they use. Now, you can compare that, I think, to, you know, the best of lists or other rankings of cities in different areas. That might be one way to get that information.
I misunderstood your comment, then that's fine. And I did think that it's important since you quoted me, to make sure that you understood the quote with respect, and you quoted me accurately, thank you. And I'm not always used to that, by the way. so I very much appreciated the accuracy of your quote. But I think it actually makes my point about the concern I have with the form of government you raised. I did point that out publicly. There was a public discussion. The reason it didn't move forward was the absolute internal resistance, including those in charge of the bureaus up to and including the what would be characterized as the current CAO, to make such a move. There was such a bureaucratic fight to do that. And I will tell you that while it sounds easy on paper to say, well, if you had a unified chain of command, that would have changed, that's not the way the organizations work. We did have a vigorous discussion on the topic of merging planning and BDS and the permitting functions of those bureaus into one bureau. But I can tell you that the discussion only happened because an elected official wanted it to happen. And out of that, we did come up with efficiencies. And we did make the system better out of that. So I actually appreciate your observation of that, because what didn't get as much attention is the changes that occurred after that to make those things happen that I don't think would have happened necessarily otherwise. But again, I mean, we're spending a lot of time discussing, although I agree with Commissioner Sten, this is a topic that warrants more discussion than what appears to be planned at this point, and I would hope you would agree with that. I also agree with Commissioner Sten that, you talked about the Portland way, there is a Portland way, and you're absolutely right. I was born and raised in Portland, and sometimes I thought when I first got elected to council I was doing what the Portland way was, and I learned the hard way that I wasn't. And part of that means that on a conversation like this, what I've learned from my first couple of years on the council is sometimes it's more efficient to take more time than it is to try to move quicker. And I'm sensing that that's what's going on with this initiative. Notwithstanding the substantive problems I have with it, there is definitely a process problem. And I'm alerting you of that and others that this time frame now is, I will tell you, untenable, that there are people in the community that want to and have the right to have a broader discussion about your recommendations, because they are good recommendations and they're worthy of discussion. You shouldn't think that that's a criticism at all. It actually, I think what you're recommending warrants this broader discussion, because as you pointed out at one point in your testimony, is that the vast, and I tried to write this down exactly as you said it so I could return the favor, the vast majority of Portlanders do not know about the CRC recommendations. I agree with you, and I think that's the point, is they don't. And I'll also tell you from my experience, campaigns is not how you get information out. Campaigns, unfortunately, normally we, thus of our ilk, are not on in different, when I say of our ilk, I mean of the Portland ilk, on differing positions on this topic. Normally we're very clear in our arguments about a Bill Sizemore initiative or something of that import, that the arguments that are going for a pro Measure 47 or a pro Measure 5 or a measure to require parental notification or anything like that, those aren't good public debates necessarily. They're fueled by the messages, by moneyed interests and whatnot. So I would take issue that a campaign itself is a good way to get out information. I don't agree with that. And then finally, I don't want to take any more time because I know others have questions. And finally, I would say on this issue of the obligation of the council to refer your recommendations to the voters, I certainly didn't understand when I voted for the commission, and I did, that I was implicitly or overtly agreeing that whatever the recommendations were would go on the ballot in any form. I voted for many, many commissions in my tenure in public service, and I would never vote for a commission understanding that I was obligating myself to that. I think I do have a responsibility to view everything that comes through council and make a judgment on it based on its merits and not defer to the voters. And having said that, I look forward to the further discussion, because I think a lot of what you've done here is really, really good, and I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I have no questions, but I do feel compelled to enter this discussion here. And we could have all the additional process. I mean, I want to thank you all for spending 14 months, countless hours, looking at what are arcane, unsexy issues, but they're important, as you characterized. They're important to the future of this city. And I can think of no better way to engage the public than in the context of a campaign. I mean, you can go out and have all the more hearings in the world, and you'll see the same people show up. They'll say the same thing. They may grow. You may get 15 at one meeting. Maybe that's an increase from 10 at the previous. But there's no way you're going to catalyze public interest in this, or media interests. I mean, I would notice the lack of TVs here compared to, say, when we're doing something like banning smoking in Pioneer Square. Okay? We can do those, and we can get a lot of public coverage really quickly. This will not do that under any circumstance. The only way is to have a campaign where, in the end, the voters know that May whatever, May 16th, whatever, they're going to have to fill out that ballot. And they're going to have to listen and get engaged. And the media will catch up. Nothing drives decision-making like a good deadline. And nothing like a good deadline exists than a ballot measure. So I really disagree with the idea of taking this out for more comment. It'll simply lose momentum. It'll lose interest. It's time, you know, I think, for us, we may reasonably disagree on the merits of the measures. But I do believe we have an obligation to submit this to the public and let the true public debate occur.
At the risk of overstepping my honorary advisory committee role, listening patiently to some of the comments, the 11 signers of the advisory committee has agreed that the committee has done a wonderful work, and even though we may not be unanimous in...
Sure. It's never rained.
Could be Mayor Clark.
Linda Law does not.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Sam. The Honorary Advisory Committee has agreed unanimously that this should be taken to the voters. Having been on the losing side of the last campaign to change the form of government, and I was here testifying on behalf of the initiative that was put forth, that was defeated, soundly defeated by the voters, that I agree with Commissioner Saltzman that the voters did look at our proposal and decided it was not good enough for the voters to change the form of government. This one here has gone through a different process because you have asked a group of citizens to go through extensive period of time with public testimony over 15 months. And you do also have the, I guess, the advantage of two mayors, one governor, and another fellow commissioner that served many years at this chamber have looked at this recommendation by this thoughtful citizen committee and have recommended that you ought to take this to voters, and not something that maybe majority, 3 out of 5, are as intelligent as you might be, just because 3 out of 5 people disagreed June of 06 doesn't necessarily mean that another group of citizens who were just as thoughtful, just as committed to the city, could not come back with the same or similar recommendation. Doesn't mean that, you know, they dismissed your opinions, simply accepted your opinions and came to a different conclusion.
Commissioner Adams, you haven't done.
I'm waiting for more testimony. I'll have questions later.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank both the full commission and the honorary advisory commission for the hard work you put into this. We're going to have public testimony at this point, and we have a sign-up sheet. How many people do we have signed up?
We have 11 people signed up.
Okay, please call the first three.
Okay. That would be Lily Mandel, Erwin Mandel, and Richard Beadle. They'll be followed by Corinne Paulson, Dan Booker, and Chris Smith.
We're going to switch the order.
I'll start first.
Okay, let's wait till Richard sits down.
It's a case of age before beauty.
Okay, just a second till he sits down.
Where do I fit into that?
You're the youngest.
I like that.
Please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Erwin Mandel. Unfortunately, we will not be able to attend the meeting on February 7th. Well, there may be some who might say, fortunately, we won't be able to. I have a question for Mr. Wang. I'm a retired psychologist, and among the activities I've been engaged in has been teaching. And part of the teaching has been drawing up measurement scales for essentially subjective evaluations. It's a doozy. It's very hard to do. Now, Mr. Wang has said, you can't measure success. And yet he wants Portland to take a look at itself and see if it can't do better. Well, if you can't measure success, how do you measure doing better? I have a little problem with that. Let me get to the text of what I wanted to say. On page 5 of the report, the commission states that there are 3 fundamental concepts that permeate their recommendations. The third of these permeating concepts demands that all recommendations go directly to the ballot, usurping the right of our elected city council to decide whether or not they should be placed on the ballot. The commission has ignored the fact that they were charged to provide recommendations only to the council. That's a bit of hubris. Do not abdicate your responsibility and power to evaluate all proposals that come before you. You are our elected government, and you decide whether or not these recommendations go to the ballot, not an advisory commission. As to the supposed need for a change in our form of government, let me remind you that it was only 5 years ago that we citizens at the ballot box overwhelmingly rejected a change in form of government. As Yogi Berra once said, it's deja vu all over again.
Hi, Lily Mandel. This report will obviously allow the next mayor of Portland, at his inauguration, like Napoleon, to crown him or herself. What is very dangerous is that today commissioners are trying to pull the wool over our eyes by insisting that all their recommendations go directly to the ballot and ignore our elected city councilors, all under the guise of so-called democracy. Don't buy it. We will be robbed of our ability to directly influence how our elected officials serve us, except, of course, for the lords of the manor who will have backdoor access to the imperial mayor. Now, listen to Chair Wong's reason for the change in our form of government. I read this in Steve Dean's column. He says it is not broken, but in order to succeed in the future, we must change. Really? Has he been gazing into a fortune teller's crystal ball? He admits it is not broken now. Then why change it now? This reminds me of the title of a popular play that has been running here in Portland. It originated in Broadway. I love you. You're perfect. Now change. This report is, quote, a city government for Portland's future. But they want to review the charter every 6 years by a charter commission whose recommendations automatically go to the ballot, ignoring our elected officials. However, the first review by a charter commission must occur no later than 2 years after the effective date of the report. The future doesn't seem to be more than 2 years away. Does this mean that every 6 years we might have another form of government? They aren't very clairvoyant, are they? This report should not be accepted. It is not an improvement for governing the city. A lot of sound and fury, only signifying more power to the emperor mayor. Thank you.
My name is Richard Beadle. I am a business manager of Laborers, Local 483, and I want to thank the mayor and the council for allowing me to testify today. Local 483 opposes this charter review committee's recommendations. We think this is a solution in search of a problem. The current form of government is not broken, and there's no compelling reason from the community to change it. The current configuration is more democratic than a strong mayor approach, and the current configuration allows for greater public involvement, oversight of political decisions, and broader accountability. A stronger mayor model unduly consolidates executive power in one office and transforms the authority to an unelected official who is at will of the mayor. We don't feel this serves the interests of the public. We think that this change has intended and unintended consequences. One of the unintended consequences, we think, is the losing of the 860 rule limit that's in the charter today for the seasonal maintenance workers. Now, we think that this 860-hour limit was put in there for a reason. There was a purpose for it, because it reflected the culture and it reflected the values of the city of Portland. They hold the values of full-time employment, employment with living wages, just cause protections, health care, and full benefits of their employees very dearly. And they didn't want to submit their employees to the pressures that are continuously put in front of them as we come into budget crisis and shortfalls in our financial fate caused by the cycling of the budget process. And so to keep that from happening and to preserve our culture, we put the 860-hour limit in our charter. We're losing that. We're opening the door to a new value system, and I don't like it. Also, I agree with Randy Leonard, Commissioner Leonard, when he says that the election process is not a good open debate on this issue. Because are we going to wage a major education campaign? This is a very critical issue for our public to address, for our electorate to address. And for them to not have a full education campaign waged so that if we can educate them on the pitfalls, on some of the unintended consequences, and on what they're losing with these changes, or what they're due to gain with these changes, would be frolic. We would be opening that education campaign to the corporations and the right-wing media who have the money to wage that kind of campaign for their own purpose and their own reasons. I would ask the council to make this decision very carefully of what they bring in front of the ballot. We went through this process with ballot measure 5, ballot measure 47, ballot measure 8, 92, 98 with Bill Sizemore. We understand how they can mislead the public and how expensive and time-consuming these kind of campaigns can be. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next, we have Corrine Paulson, Dan Booker, and Chris Smith. They'll be followed by Robert Wheaton, Sharon Nelson, and Amanda Fritz.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes. We'll begin with you.
I have even less. My name is Corrine Paulson, and I'm here to speak for the League of Women Voters of Portland, and I'm not speaking to the merits, pro or con, of the issue, but I am speaking to the timing of placing it on the ballot if you should decide to. The League has devoted a great deal of thought to the merits of a May vote on the Charter Review Commission's recommendations. A decision on how we govern our city deserves careful consideration by an informed and engaged electorate. This cannot be accomplished on such a short time frame or in a 207 off-year election. The League believes that more time is needed to make this critical decision. The Charter Review Commission proposals are a good starting point for an inclusive citywide decision-making process. Beginning with a form of government question, we recommend Council develop a plan to educate the public, solicit its opinions, and recommendations on Portland's form of government. The process should include community meetings in addition to Charter Review Commission and City Council hearings. Besides the Mayor Council Chief Administrative Officer form, retaining our current commission form and adoption of alternative models should be considered. Once the form of government issue is settled, the city can begin to consider the other charter changes. A vote on the form of government would ideally take place in May or November of 2008. At that time, we can expect a high degree of voter interest and participation. As an added advantage, candidates running for city office will make this issue part of their campaign and contribute to voter understanding by raising its visibility. The League commends and thanks the Charter Review Commission for its hard work and City Council for the opportunity to share our recommendations with you. Oh, that's not me.
Booker T and the MGs to go along with your
once again, we urge you to give the public an opportunity to understand and participate in this important decision. We've had this forum for, 92 years? So I think a little time to really consider it is important. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dan Booker. I've been one of the few people, I think, that's probably watched nearly all of the meetings of the Charter Commission on TV. I don't have much of a life, but no, I'm kidding. It was very good, and I really believe that it should be must viewing for every social studies class around. The debate was lively, and some of it I found myself, yelling at my television set, but that's okay. I believe that this should go to a vote. I believe that this is, it's been said that commissioners do not like to stick their nose into other commissioners' bureaus. I firmly believe that if this was in place when the tram was going on, there would not have the problems of the tram. There would have been oversight, better oversight. There would be more community enlightenment as to who is responsible for the financial difficulties. Who is accountable? And I believe that we as a people have the right to vote on certain things. It's about democracy, and it's about commissioners being elected by district, I also believe in that, because if I want to pick up a phone and talk to a commissioner, which I do from time to time.
Yes, I do.
And express my concern. The last thing I want to do is talk to a staff person. I didn't elect a staff person. I elected a commissioner or a mayor. And I believe that me being kind of a middle-income sort of guy doesn't get the same kind of access that, say, someone who's making minimum wage. Because Commissioner Leonard and I have been friends for 30 years. And I believe the only reason I have that access is because of our friendship. But if somebody's making a buck and a half an hour, gets that same access, I don't think so. So I think it's very important that these people deserve an up or down vote. Thank you for your time. Thank
you. Good afternoon, Chris Smith. I would really like to thank and respect the commission for the effort they put into this. I know what long-term citizen involvement processes like this look like, and I just have tremendous respect for what they've done. So it's absolutely meaning no disrespect when I say that I'm here to urge you not to refer the form of government question. I'm an unabashed fan of the commission form. I believe that it has a number of advantages, including the fact that elected officials are accessible and accountable as the head of bureaus, that we do have five heads of state, if you want to use that phrase, who are each advancing the public policy agenda, and as a result, we have a public policy agenda that is broader and faster moving than I think many other places, and in which citizens can be more engaged. I think that it's not a coincidence that we have the commission form and that Portland is one of the highest places of citizen engagement in the country. Those two, in my mind, are very much related. So if we're going to replace the commission form, I would want us to look very hard at how we would incorporate those specific advantages in a new system, and I don't see that in this proposal, and that's why I hope you will not refer it. To some of the comments that have been made here, if the commission form is flawed and we want to be better, I don't know what other city we would look to. I don't want Portland to be anything other than Portland. So, yes, we may certainly find ways to improve ourselves. I don't think that starts by picking another system off a list of, a checklist of forms of government. I think it will have to be something uniquely created for Portland. And as to the issue of having a chief administrative officer, I have spent my career in corporate America more than 20 years. I now work for a Fortune 500 company. We only have one CEO. I can tell you that does not prevent us from having problems of coordination and cultural conflict within our company. Having one chief executive does not solve that problem. And as to the question of how this gets to the ballot, of course, citizens ultimately have to be the deciders of the form of government. But I think that ballot measures as a form of direct democracy are a tricky thing. The best democracy happens in a deliberative process. That's why this is a legislative body, why we have the state legislature. Citizens only get to vote yes or no. So I think it's really up to you to be the deliberative part of this debate and to make sure that we get the best question posed to the citizens that we can. So I hope you will take the time to look at this and shape it into the best proposal you think it can be if you think it's time to advance the form of government question. And finally, I would agree with my colleague from League of Women Voters, an off-year primary is probably, if the goal is to get this in front of citizens, an off-year primary is not the best time to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have Robert Wheaton, Sharon Nelson, and Amanda Fritz. They'll be followed by Ken Turner, Teresa Teeter, and Marianne Schwab.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
My name is Robert Wheaton. I work for Laborers Local 43, representing the low-wage seasonal employees at the City of Portland. My issue is kind of small compared to the big items that are on this Charter Review Commission's report, PDC, the governance structure. But I'm looking specifically at one portion of the civil service review, and I was actually invited to speak upon that, and that is the removal of the five-month restriction, the five-month definition of a seasonal employee. You'll hear people refer to this five-month restriction and 860-hour limitation interchangeably. Basically, that's because the city has defined 5 months to be 860 hours and can spread that 860 hours throughout the calendar year, thus kind of making them no longer seasonal employees and more of a part-time, temporary sort of employee with no real status with the city. It's something they've used to now expand the use of these seasonal workers throughout the entire year and expand their duties. Ironically, the seasonal maintenance worker, which we represent with a contract now, has a broader and more duties assigned to it than the full-time permanent maintenance worker. In addition, at Parks and Recreation, there is a seasonal part-time recreation leader that they have no job description, therefore can be assigned any duties without upgrade and whatnot. After they reach their 860 hours, they are transferred or they are rehired by a temporary agency known as Brooks Temporary Agency and continue employment doing the same job but through a different employer. My point is that with this restriction, it creates a lot of problems for the city managers to go ahead and work around it. So they've lobbied to have this restriction removed, and it became part of the council's recommendations as one of those outdated portions of the charter. In fact, it's not even really mentioned. It's mentioned in the afternotes of, oh, by the way, we've got to increase benefits and hiring practices for the temps. But it is deferred to the HR department. It's like this is something they should have jurisdiction over. Given the fact that this limitation exists currently and all these ways that they've kind of moved around the restriction, I just fail to see how lifting that restriction is going to eliminate that process or return to something I believe the voters really approve, that is full-time employment or part-time permanent employment at a minimum. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sharon Nielsen, and I'm here representing the Small Business Advisory Council. And we are here to support the referring these recommendations to the voters. We've not had nor taken the opportunity to discuss the relative merits of each of the recommendations. But we, as a citizens committee that spends a lot of time volunteering our time and making very thoughtful recommendations, honor and support the work of the commission. The commission and the council invited the commission to be formed to review the charter. Reviewing the charter meant that there would be recommendations. Charters don't get changed unless they go to the voters. So when you convene a citizens committee and you ask them to review and support and really delve into and provide their recommendations, I don't suggest that you have to agree with them, but by the very nature of inviting them to spend this time, this is the core of a Portland principle, which is public involvement. And you took great pains to give this commission broad-based support and representation. I urge you, if, in fact, there is modifications to be made to their particular recommendations, that you send it back to that commission, and that commission then sends it back to you. But ultimately, this full debate that started here today does need to be taken to the public. It does need to be taken to the voters, and to not do that is to suggest that we don't trust our fellow citizens to vote for what is best. Not certainly everything that I agree with, but to vote what is best for the city that they live in. And I want to, and that is the recommendations of the Small Business Advisory Council at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Amanda Fritz, speaking only for myself. I think Portland is great, and I think its government works well. No other commission in Portland expects City Council to adopt their recommendations verbatim. If you refer this to this May's ballot, my input as a citizen will be limited to voting yes or no. The Charter Review Commission has done good work. Probably 90% of it needs no changes. The question is, which 90%? This proposal was published less than two weeks ago. And although draft proposals were published before, many of us waited until the final proposal was out because draft proposals change, and there are other things that we spend our time on. Citizens have had no opportunity to meet, discuss, and give feedback on the final proposal. This document isn't even presented in strike-through and underlining to show changes from the current law. It's almost as if the goal is to make it difficult as possible for citizens to review and comment on the substance of the proposal. In February, please make the hearing an evening hearing so that people don't have to take time off work to attend. Please don't send these proposals to the ballot in May. Last May, fewer than 35% of Portlanders voted, and that was with candidates adding interest on the ballot. If you send out the changes this May, probably fewer than one-fourth of citizens will vote on what is fundamentally a huge change to our city's constitution. And with such a short timeline, corporate interests will fund the so-called public education campaign. The timing is wrong, too, because Vision PDX and Community Connect have not yet concluded. Why are these charter changes preceding the outcome of those important public input processes? I'm going to give you one example of why it's a good idea to have fresh eyes on the final proposal at this point. If you would turn to page 34 of the proposal, item 50 of the current list of what is City Council's purview includes to prevent the sale, circulation, display, and disposition of obscene matter, including books, papers, prints, pictures, films, and other material. So if you want to have this proposal be a discussion of the constitutionality of freedom of expression, then send out the commission's proposal verbatim. I would suggest that there are some minor changes that should be made. For instance, Mayor Potter, there's nothing in this list of purview of the City Council about supporting schools. I would like to see something in the charter that it is the City Council's responsibility to provide support to our four school districts. All right, so I'm going to save my I have a lot of detailed comments on the specific proposals, which I guess is going to have to go till February. And I have some other examples, like the one that I just gave you, of why there are some really specific problems in all four of these proposals that you should not put it to the ballot immediately. But what a good public process would be if you were to thank the Charter Review Commission for their work, and their lots of work, and acknowledge that it is a proposal. Send out all four proposals to neighborhood associations, business associations, unions, and other city employees and other groups on the Community Connect project list. Assign city staff and volunteers to explain the recommendations to the citizens. Convene town hall meetings, which you do very well, and have council work sessions to discuss this proposal. Then ask the Charter Review Commission to hold public hearings in the fall to revise the proposal, have another hearing before City Council, and then send the strong mayor proposal to the voters first and alone, because that the decision on that really determines what you need in the Charter Review Commission, what you're going to need in civil service. Everything hangs on that one decision, and it should be made first. And that would be my recommendation for what a good public process would look like from now on.
So is there any place, Amanda, people could go to read your thoughts?
Well, thank you for mentioning that, Commissioner Leonard. I happen to have started a blog, which is at amandafritz.com.
Okay.
And there will be a write-up about this tonight.
I'm sure.
Our next three are Ken Turner, Teresa Teeter, and Marianne Schwab. And our last person to sign up is Bernie Bottomley.
How many more currently?
All of that.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, the debate that we witnessed and heard a little while ago, I think, is just an example of this fine country that we live in, this fine city that we live in, and why these issues that the commission has brought forward should go to the public, to the voters. The individual Portland voters are very, very astute. They understand what is going on. And I think if you rest the decision on their shoulders, they're going to come back with the right decision. You know, Portland is great. It's a great place to live in. Trust the voters and trust your citizens. This is a great country. Let's let the voters decide.
Hi, my name's Teresa Teeter. I'm downtown citizen advocate. I'm just going to go through my notes really fast. The very first thing I noticed in this book on page 6 was the keyword elected officials to watch for on each and every page. There's a city manager in Billings, Montana, by the way, Commissioner Leonard. The plus for a city manager is he or she gets fired if all else fails underneath their tenure. If the mayor stays in charge of all departments and they run smoothly, it enhances reelection bid. However, city manager position creates a larger budget need to duplicate what each one of your commissioners already do. So it looks to me as if you're trying to reinvent the same wheel. That position in Billings pays $89,000 to $101,000 a year. Whew. Okay, and parks, fishing. Okay, let's see, page 33, numbers under enumerated powers, number 48 through 58, it criminalizes the homeless. It uses disparaging, heinous language and dignity-robbing language and major civil rights violations on criminalizing people in wheelchairs downtown. Talks about posters and signage used in parades, et cetera, things like that. I see Schumacher's written all over this area. Let's see, page 36 under City Council, A through G already states what you already do, so it sounds like they're re-crowning you with what you're already doing. Page 38 talks about privilege and debate in city council. In other words, you can't debate what you've already debated at a thingy. So what happens today couldn't happen again, according to what it looks like on page 38. Creating oversight for each project, like the tram, and let the companies building the projects, they should be doing that. They mention this in these things. Senator Wyden held a town hall in Oregon City recently, and because he's sitting in Washington and can't reach us people, he does 2.5-hour town halls. At least he comes back and reaches out. I'd like to see that this is mentioned by a previous person. This is kind of what you'd be stuck doing if you had a city manager. You'd have to hold town halls to reach your constituency. And it says, you know, you can't have, on page 40, you can't have an elected official or appointed, can't have a position of any sort, political party, may not be in any business if you're working under this. So you're going to have to go out and hire the person. You have absolutely no lobbyist people getting to him or anything. So basically what I'm saying is you might as well leave yourselves in the position of running this city and don't hand this over to a city manager or this charter review commission. And also, there are no recommendations in this book for improving the quality of life for your citizens. It's basically a manual on what you're going to do to the people and what they're going to pay for having violated everything. Thank you.
Gentlemen serving the council, thank you for your open ears and your active listening. You've heard a lot today. My name is Mary Ann Schwab. I'm talking for myself. I live in the Sunnyside neighborhood that's inner city. I'm also the delegate for Sunnyside to the Southeast Uplift meeting where this letter was proposed. During the meeting, I strongly suggested against supporting this. I felt we needed more time. I felt lots of frustration towards our Tom Potter mayor in that we have worked with Vision PDX. I am on the Community Connect BIP number 8 up until December 15th. There's lots of it's been a very tumultuous December, trying to meet everyone's deadline. I'm disappointed in that the work with the Community Connect has not been finished. Our charge was to review the different governances around the country. That work isn't even finished, and already a mayor-appointed charter review committee. They're at the pleasure of the mayor, and these are these honorary members. Wow, I mean, I'm not honorary anything. But yet, all the work, all the hours that they've done, and to have this recommendation before our work is finished, it just doesn't, there's not an imperative here of respect for all the committees doing the work. I ask that you not put this on the May issue until we've had deeper discussions. Eric Sten has brought up some great questions. Randy Leonard as well, and I think we need more time for study. I'm glad we're reviewing it. I was part of the Burnside Bridgehead fiasco when we had some shenanigans going on with the RFP selection, and I was one of many yelling it was time to review the charter. We need to get more control on PDC. They've addressed that. I was concerned with the Civic Service Commission and the contract employees and the seasonal employees, especially those with the parks and recreation, that they have just wages just as well as we want just wages for those working with PDC. There's lots more study to be done. So please, gentlemen, back off. Don't put this in May. Let's do some more studies, at least until the Vision PDC or PDX has got their work done. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Our last person sign up is Bernie Bottomley.
Members of the City Council, Bernie Bottomley. I'm a paid representative of the Portland Business Alliance. Thought I'd make my maiden appearance in front of the City Council on a non-controversial and small issue. But appreciate the opportunity to be here. I just wanted briefly to let you know that the Portland Business Alliance Government Affairs Committee and our Board of Directors have been following this issue for the last 13 or 14 months. We've had a number of presentations by the Charter Review Committee, and as a volunteer-driven organization, I'd just like to say that we're incredibly impressed with the amount of time and thoughtfulness that has gone into reviewing the charter. It's not the kind of light reading that you pick up and understand quickly. It has taken a tremendous amount of work, and I think that organization and their chairman in particular have done a tremendous job of looking at this seriously and soberly and coming up with some valuable recommendations. Our Government Affairs Committee and our board both had presentations, a number of presentations from the committee, and engaged in some very thoughtful and pointed discussions about the recommendations. We appreciated the fact that they responded in a thoughtful and thorough way, and we felt that they were very responsive to the issues that that we raised with them. Our board did vote to endorse their recommendations, and we forwarded a letter to the mayor and members of the council reflecting their endorsement of the recommendations. And so we hope we will move forward on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that it? Further questions from the commission?
I have some questions.
Mr. Wong, could you please come back?
And I think Mr. Wong needs a raise.
You're going to actually write me a memo on that I can take back?
I'm sorry?
Can you write me a memo that I can take
back? Yeah, I'm happy to.
Well, first, I want to add to the list of people thanking both you and the commission for what is a very difficult task. And as described, I believe, by the mayor accurately, as can be very dry work, but very important. Have been involved in a public process with the committee on city-county consolidation 7-8 years ago. Very similar to this, I feel I have a sense of how much work this is, and I want to thank you for that. I wanted to give you a chance to answer some of the concerns and questions have been raised, and I'll just add a few more, and I'll try to limit it to just 4 or 5 questions. I thought it was very compelling, the statement made by Marianne Schwab. Implicit in her concern was that form should follow function, and that without the vision having been completed, we don't necessarily know what functions would be required of city government in the future. And yet, because of sequencing, this is the form that's sort of before the function having been defined. I wanted to give you a chance to comment on that.
Sure. Let me answer that in two parts. In terms of timing of referral of these recommendations or any form of recommendations to the ballot, the Charter Review Commission doesn't take a position on that. Clearly, one of the things we did take into account was the idea that if we're going to adopt a new form of government,
that should probably take place in 2007, so that those candidates who are running in 2008 know what seats and what seats they're running for. But the Charter Review Commission itself doesn't have a formal position as to when recommendations should go to the ballot. We do agree that there should be some coordination between the Vision PDX work and that of the Charter Review Commission. We did meet with representatives of the Vision PDX grantees, and it was interesting to note that some of them had done surveys, and one of the things that came out of those surveys was that folks were looking for professional management in the city, which we found was consistent with our recommendations. So I guess that's a roundabout way of saying that, yes, Vision PDX should be very important to, I guess, the form and function of city government.
How would you respond to those folks that have testified to not send it to the ballot for one reason or another, either to give more time for more processing or, I don't know if anyone went so, I guess a couple of people might have gone so far as to say, you know, it's not broke, don't mm-hmm. fix it, just mm-hmm. don't send this to the ballot. Right. How would yeah. you respond to those?
Yeah, well, it's the finding of the Charter Review Commission, a majority of the members, that the current system is broken for the reasons I cited earlier today, and that we're seeing symptoms of those structural flaws, perhaps nothing catastrophic yet that anyone can cite, but we are seeing evidence of those structural flaws. So the question, again, isn't whether the current system is broken, it's whether we can implement a system now that will make it easier for us in the future. I'll leave it at that. But
the other question of taking more time to have a date, do you have a personal opinion on that, not speaking for the committee, just because you've been, you know, in the midst of this for so long?
This is me speaking personally, not as chair of the commission. I agree with Commissioner Saltzman that it's unlikely these issues will be fully fleshed out in the community absent a firm deadline being put in place. Folks simply wouldn't have the motivation to take the time to delve into the details of our existing form of government and what alternatives are out there. By setting a firm deadline, you encourage the voters of the city and trust that they will make an informed, educated decision, and they know there's a time certain for them to make that decision.
Final two questions are substantive, and they're my own. I'm on record supporting what is known figuratively as the Bob Ball Initiative. And part of the reason that I supported that is that I believe that government accountability is maximized when there are a separation of the judicial, legislative, and executive branches. The form brought forward by the commission for us to consider putting to the ballot has 20% of the legislative branch controlled by the executive branch. That worries me, troubles me, if we're going to go to all this effort to try to bring more accountability that comes with stronger checks and balances, with separations of the legislative and executive branch. You and I have had this conversation privately, but I'd like to air it out. Give me, on behalf of the commission, their reasons for why they chose to keep this original recommendation the way it is.
Sure. Let me start with the existing form of government. In the commission form of government, we have the legislative, executive, and quasi-judicial all wrapped up into a single body with no separate oversight body whatsoever. In the mayor council CAO form that we are recommending, and I like to point out that this is not a cookie cutter solution. This is a form that we have tailored or attempted to tailor for Portland's needs. So in the form we're recommending, the mayor would continue to sit on council, again, one of five city council members, but the mayor doesn't have a separate veto right. Now, the question came up, and we debated long and hard whether the mayor should sit on council for the very concern, for the very reasons you raised. Should we have the executive sitting on the legislative branch? At the end of the day, we decided that we did want the mayor to sit on city council for the following reason. By forcing the mayor to sit on city council, you're forcing him or her to account publicly and regularly to the city council. The last thing we wanted was a mayor who would be able to hide out in his or her office and send staff across the hallway to communicate with city council. But by forcing the mayor to sit on city council, you encourage communication. You facilitate communication between the mayor and the city council in a very public, regular forum. So that was one of the reasons why we encouraged the mayor. And again, we have not given the mayor a separate veto right. I know you, Commissioner, especially had a concern about giving the mayor too much power, and we took that into consideration and decided the mayor should not have veto power.
I appreciate that, and I think it's good to air that out. Couldn't that also be accomplished, though, by requiring that the city council and the mayor meet on a regular basis without giving the mayor an actual vote and a seat on the council?
That's true, but the countervailing issue, I guess, is, you know, the mayor in this case would be the one ultimately responsible for day-to-day operations at the city, and I think the feeling was that the mayor should have a voice in the overall policy adopted by the city, because he or she would have kind of the responsibility for carrying it out. Those policies out.
But there could be something, an alternative would be to provide the mayor a voice without providing him or her a vote.
Certainly. There are so many alternatives available. This was the alternative that we settled on after careful examination and assessment.
I appreciate that. The last question is about my concern about too strong of a mayor. And you and I and some of your members have had the discussion. And I've been quoted in the paper talking about those concerns, and I wanted to give you an opportunity publicly to address them. Tell us why you don't think that what's being proposed by the commission is not too strong of a mayor, is not an imperial mayor.
Sure. In our recommended form, the mayor, council, chief administrative officer form that we're recommending, we are expanding the role of council oversight in terms of legislative oversight. That's the fundamental concept, the checks and balances that's critical to our federal government and also to city governments across the country. Providing an independent legislature that oversees the action of the mayor and the CAO, holding the mayor and the CAO accountable for their day-to-day operations, their day-to-day decisions on behalf of the city as a whole, on behalf of the constituents. We stripped the mayor of a separate veto power. The council retains budget authority, ultimately, and so we think that those types of mechanisms would provide the leverage for city council to exercise the checks and balances against the actions of the mayor and the CAO.
I'm sorry, are you done?
I am.
Okay. Is it possible to get that an underline and strike out version? That would be useful for me. I just want to close by saying you've done an excellent job here, and I really appreciate your work here today. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Other questions? This is a Charter Review Commission report. We need a motion to accept the report.
So moved. Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Mr. Mayor and your team for bringing forward this process that we authorized and called for. Look forward to having additional discussions between now and February 7th. Is that right?
Yes.
Aye.
I do. I want to reiterate that I appreciate the work of the citizens that spent the amount of time they did discussing these issues. But whereas at one point I might have just stopped there and voted, I do feel, given some of what's been said here, I have to make it clear that by voting to accept the report, I don't want anybody to interpret that to mean I've obligated myself to vote to put something on the ballot, and it would appear from this point on with every commission I ever vote for, I need to make that crystal clear, because it's clearly been misunderstood by some to think that we obligated ourselves by the creation of this commission to recommend what it is they came up with, notwithstanding whether we personally agreed with it.